You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
I feel blessed already. I feel excited. I know that this day is going to be a real great blessing. Your life is never going to be the same again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Settle down at home and get ready for what is coming. Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Are you ready for what is coming? Are you ready for the word? If you are ready and excited as I am, somebody's life is about to be turned around. Somebody's destiny is about to be changed. Somebody is about to receive a blessing. Why don't you rise up to your feet and with Jesus' joy, let's put our hands together as we welcome our daddy and our father, the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay, to give us the word. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank the Lord.
Yes.
On this special day, I just want to thank God for mothers. For mothers. And it's a blessing to have a day set up for mothers, just to honor mothers. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that every woman will be honored and every man will respect the place of women in their lives, because God respects the place of women in the lives of men. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible narrates that when God created man, God went through everything he had created man. Mankind was the last to be created because God wanted to make sure that everything is prepared before mankind came to manage it. So he would create this, he said, it is good. He creates, he says, it is good. He creates a sea, it is, he said, it was good. And he saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. There was only one place he said, it is not good. He said, it is not good that man be alone. I think it's in Genesis 2 verse 18. Says, it is not good. You see, Bible says that, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God went ahead to create woman. Now, I want you to know that everything that God created is good, except man without a woman. That's the only thing. And in case you do not accept it, it's time to accept it, because God's word is pure. You can't fight. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And so let's all accept in our lives that man without women is not good. Any place you go, whether it's church, go to a church with only men and see whether it will be beautiful. Find a man's choir like we just found. This man's choir we had. We are trying to honor the mothers, but men, I realize that all the beauty in the choir has been because of the ladies. Even the song is nicer because of the ladies. Go to any home that is made up of only men without a woman. I can assure you, you will almost find a jungle. Women make a difference. Go to any job place. If bosses will be frank, you want somebody who's dedicated to your ambition without a selfish ambition, find a lady. She'll get the job done. Amen.
Amen.
Jobs are not the same without women. Go to any place and find out. God knew what he was doing. He finished creation. He had finished creation before he said, it is not good. Just one thing, that I create mankind without a woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to endorse this fact that when we say the better half of a man, we are telling the truth, because man without a woman is the worst half. So God bless you, women. Thank you, mothers, for who we are. We all came from mothers. A mother never denies a child. You know, when you see places where people are denying who's a parent, usually it's a man who's saying, it's not my child, it's not my child. No woman said, it's not my child. You know, so thank you, mothers, for your dedication that has kept us. You nurtured us even before we came out. Nurtured us in your wombs. You kept us. You gave us nourishment. You gave us all that we required. And here we are. Forgive us sometimes when men give you trouble. But you need us. So we're here to celebrate you. Even you need us to celebrate yourselves. Women alone are usually not happy. They need a man. And God, in his own wisdom, knowing that you are nicer, said that your desire shall be for your husband. So we know that you enjoy you. Men, women love men more than men love women. That's a fact. It's also in the Bible. God himself says, your desire shall be for the men. He didn't say to the men, your desire shall be for the women. I now know why men, women love men like that. God bless you for loving us. We appreciate your love. Keep loving us. Please, everybody, give a wonderful hand clap for all women around, not just mothers, but potential mothers. God bless you. We celebrate you. We salute you. We honor you. Amen.
Amen.
So today, in honor of that, I'm going to talk about honor relationships, part two. Honor relationships. Honor relationships. Relationships that require honor. Relationships that require honor. You know, honor relationships, please. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, every relationship requires something to make it work. And I want to read. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We appreciate your presence in our lives that make our Christian lives become something substantial. We ask that, oh God, your wisdom will come through. Your power will come through. Your anointing will come through. That all things will be done to glorify you. You will take the preeminence in everything we do. May you increase as we decrease. May we decrease ourselves so that you show up and take the glitter and the shine. Thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want all of you to settle and to respond. Amen. I want to read from Romans chapter 13, verse number 7. Romans chapter 13. Bible says, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to pay your taxes when it's time for taxes. You need to pay your tithes when it's time to pay your tithes. You need to give respect, you know, where respect is due. The Bible says that where the honor is due, you need to make sure you give it. Now, there are certain relationships that if you do not manage the relationship with honor, it will never be nice. You know, just like if you have soup, whatever kind, or you have meat, and you do not marinate it, you can have the nicest of fish, nicest red snapper, you know, pink snapper, any type of snapper that snaps of a fish. Now, if you put the fish there without actually seasoning it well, with salt, with spices, with things, you can have such a bland meal of such an expensive, otherwise expensive fish that you'll be surprised. So, the little thing like the salt, the spices, the seasoning, the things you marinate, you know, many times when you're eating a meal, it is not, sometimes the best meals take the longest to cook. But if you have the patience, you will enjoy the best. It is because of what has actually been used to marinate it, season it, put it aside for a while before cooking it. Relationships are like that. They don't just blossom. They are nurtured. You see, they are nurtured. If you look in the Bible, will talk about husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Servants, obey your masters. And all these things are things that foster a certain you know, you want to benefit for the from the relationship, these things must be in there. Otherwise, you will be surprised that such a valuable thing will yield nothing to you in terms of satisfaction. So relationships will bring satisfaction, the desired benefits, the desired satisfaction based on the kind of things, little things that we do to actually make it worth its salt, make it bring the satisfaction that it desires. It's kind of like a catalyst. There's a certain reaction that moves from left to right at a certain rate. It can take years, but a certain small element, maybe a certain molybdenum, calcium, something, suddenly it moves it faster and you get results and you are satisfied. That is how certain things need to be added to relationships to make it tick, you know. So relationships don't flourish until you give it the required honor. One of the things that is required to make relationships benefit is that what we call honor. Honor is like respect, is like value, is like acknowledgement of the importance. You know, honor is to give it high esteem. Esteem highly. When we say honor somebody, esteem the person highly, value the person, respect the person. You know, so relationships are like that. And I want you to take cognizance of these relationships that I'm bringing across, that if you don't use that honor, it will be like buying red snapper expensive, especially when you're in Memphis, where there's no sea. Red snapper has to be caught in the ocean, has to be preserved, has to be shipped, has to be sold to the retailers at a profit, for profit, and then they have to sell it to us. I mean, by the time it comes, so expensive. So I use red snapper because in my world, it is a very expensive thing. But what is the, how expensive it will be for you buy the red snapper and not to put the right things on? Relationships are like that. Amen? And I want you to know that, look at the relationship. Like mothers, let me just use that one, the typical one. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1 through 3, Ephesians chapter 6, Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing.
Amen.
It is right to obey your parents in the Lord. No matter how much gray hair you have in your armpit, your parent will always be your parent. You will always be a child. Amen. So children, that thing never changes. You may have given church 10 times to children, given birth, but you will still be a child. I remember before my mother, that she's always used to call me my son. Do you know my son, the doctor? Do you know that pastor? Do you know my son is a doctor? My son is a pastor. So my son came first. And always I would do something. My wife would tell, look, I'll just tell your mother about this. And I said, at this age, a pastor, doctor, I'm more than 50 years old by the grace of God. I know you think I'm 26, but, you know, I don't blame you because by the grace of God, I am what I am. Anyway, but, you know, she would discuss. I said, hey, even at this age, my mother can speak into my life. It is because there was a certain honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. I pray that today all children will honor their parents. Yeah. All children will honor their mother. There's a mother of the church. There's a mother of a movement. There's a mother of a home, mother of children. Any form of mother need, desire, requires honor. Honor. Yeah, I know fathers are there, but fathers, calm down. Let's tone down what is required to keep her school. Let's give the mothers all the honor today, which is the first commandment with promise. The Bible says, when you do that, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Hallelujah. So I want to tell everyone that today, take time, write a note, write a letter to the person who's a mother. Even if your parents are dead, like my mother is dead. This morning, as I sat down and I thought about Mother's Day, I just thought, who is the mother of my life at this stage? And I realized the immediate mother who does everything my mother used to do is my wife. She's the one who cooks for me. She's the one who can tell me your clothes are dirty. You're not wearing them anymore. Sometimes my wife would look at my shirt and look at the back and say, no, this is dirty. This is not going out. I said, this is what my mother used to do. So she's in the place of that. She's the one who will counsel me. She's the one who can rebuke me. It can be tough. Yeah. She's the one that sometimes you get angry, but you can't say certain things to. That is a mother. But that's, so I had to lift, write a note to tell her, I appreciate you. I appreciate the things that you do. Although I annoy you sometimes, just like parents always annoy, children annoy parents. But I had to put it in there and let her know that, thank you. Because since my mother died, I have not felt a void because of what you have done. All husbands, please, don't just allow the children, but you do something great for that woman that has brightened your life, your better half, and God will reward you. Honor, honor will make you derive a great deal from the relationship that you have when you treat somebody like a mother. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, since you understand the power of honor, using children and a mother, let me explain to you why honor is important and why you don't get blessed when you do not honor where honor is due. For example, if you're a child and you don't honor your mother, or you are even a spouse, you don't honor your wife. Yeah. Honor. Bible says husbands must honor their wives. They must honor them as the weaker vessels. Amen. They must honor as the weaker vessels. Respect. Now, let me tell you something about honor. Honor is usually accorded to somebody you esteem highly. Somebody you consider, you are at a place that I haven't reached. All honor is based on that. You look at all the relationships that God requires us to honor. Whether it's a relationship between a church member and a pastor, a wife and a husband, a mother, a child and the parent, an employee and the boss. Usually, God, the person that deserves honor, is placed on a higher pedestal. Amen. So the Bible recognizes that somebody is higher. When you honor, it means you recognize the place of a person, that the person can be a blessing to you. Because there's no contradiction. There's no doubt. Hebrews 7:7 says, "There it is without contradiction. The lesser is blessed of the greater." So when you honor somebody who's higher than you, you actually are the one who gets blessed. Because the lesser is blessed of the greater. Anytime you honor your boss, you are in for a blessing. Anytime a wife honors the husband, you are in for a blessing. A church member honors the pastor, you are in for a blessing. A child honors the parent, you are in for a blessing. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Many children would like to be respected by their parents. I'm no longer a child. Why do you speak to me that way? You're joking. You're joking. It's more blessed. Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the B part. It says, as the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, align your life in such a way that you are a giver of honor. You'll be more blessed. Because the lesser is blessed of the greater. If you are not humble, you can never respect somebody. If you are not humble, you can never respect somebody. Because for you to honor somebody, you must accept that I'm in a position of lower level compared to the person I'm honoring. Sometimes the person may even be younger, but holds a higher position or holds a higher status compared to your life. It takes a lot of humility. Bible says that the humble, God grants grace to the humble. God grants, but he resists the proud. So I want to tell you that the reason why you cannot sometimes benefit from the blessings in some of these great relationships is dishonor. Look at the people that are fired from the workplace, for example. They have perhaps disrespected the authority of the boss. Look at the people that don't get anything from their parents, children who don't. They have perhaps disrespected, disregarded, so they get nothing. Look at Jacob and Esau. Esau was so rude and disrespectful to the mom. The parents told him, do not marry from this place, never. She went, not only did she marry from that place, she married twice over. From that place. She wrapped it in. He wrapped it in. He had no respect for the parents. Now, you could see that when it was time for Isaac to bless, Esau was the firstborn. Isaac was supposed to bless. Because Esau was so rude and disrespectful, two things happened that maybe you may not have thought about. Number one, for somebody that you are the firstborn, if your father wants to bless you, your father does not need to eat. Your father does not need to be provoked. But that guy was so funny, so some way, that the father realized that, you know what, this guy, if I just decide to bless him without something else adding to augment my feeling towards him, it will not work. So he asked Esau, go and cook for me what I like the most. So when I eat, I'm happy. It's like a drunk person who has drunk alcohol does not even see what he's doing before I can bless you, so that by mistake I can bless you. And that is what he had to do. That was not a good thing. Can you imagine that the wife of Isaac, Rebecca by name, right, heard that Esau was going to cook things to be blessed? Rebecca says, over my dead body, called his respectful, honorable son, Jacob. Say, hey, I've heard Esau, your root brother, is about to be blessed. Over my dead body, you go and get, I have goats. If you, I have some, go bring, I will cook myself. And I will give to your father so that he will rather bless you. Jacob said, hey, what if I do this and my father realizes the mistake and rather curses me instead of a blessing? And then Rebecca responded to something I will never forget. She said, may every curse be rather upon me. If it happens, may it rather be on me. May the curse be rather. That is the, what happens when you honor. When you honor people, blessings come on. They even take on your pain. They take on your curses. They take on your challenges. When you respect your boss, even when there's a problem, they cover you up. They speak on your behalf. When you honor your parents, you can see that they just speak from their heart, and then you get blessed. Honor your father. Honor your boss. Honor your pastor. Honor your prophet. Honor is an ingredient that will bring the fullest benefit from the relationships, especially for those who rank higher than you. But for you to get that honor across, you must be humble enough to accept that I am lower, that when they say, I listen. Esau was not like that. Of course, we all know the results. He cried so loudly because his blessing had been taken away. His birthright was gone, and so was his blessing. But Jacob was covered, even giving tricks how to escape your brother. And was given instructions, go and marry from your father's house. And that's exactly what he did. He was so bent on obeying the parents that when he went to Uncle Laban's house, where they had told him to go and marry the firstborn Leah, when he had finished marrying Leah, he realized that, that night, I mean, he wanted to marry Rachel. Worked 7 years. The night he was supposed to be giving Rachel, found out that they cheated him and said, well, it's a firstborn has to go first. So he, by mistake, he married at night. When he got up, it was Leah. Oh! And instead of deciding that, look, there are many other women, this place is a deceptive place, he said, my parents have told me to marry in this place. Even if it takes another 7 years to walk in obedience, I will honor them with the obedience. He decided to work 7 more years for the second wife. He obeyed twice, but Esau disobeyed twice. No wonder he was not blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm talking about the thing that will bring your blessing. God said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In this case, not give money. Give honor. Give honor. Give honor. People who honor, even if you don't put everybody, people who are not even higher than you, you respect them. They respect you back. Yeah. The way you talk to people, the way you relate to people, the way you are kind to people, the way you respect their position, you realize that you are held also in high esteem. Put your hands together for Jesus. So Bible says, them that deserve honor, honor them. Now, let me talk to you about some few place things, I mean, relationships you need to honor. The first relationship is honor the Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, and it will give you... it will give life to your relationship with our Father in heaven.
Amen.
One, honor your Father in heaven. God the Father, honor him. And suddenly, you'll get satisfaction. Let me endorse to you, bring to you, present to you that most Christians who don't enjoy the Christian lives, don't benefit the Christian life. It is because they do not honor God. I'm telling you, and it could include you. I will say it again. Just much the same way that most people who are rude to their parents usually say, oh, my parents, they are some way. They don't make me happy. They don't care about me. Usually you hear those kids saying that it's even rude to speak that way about your parent. It's usually because they disrespect them. Same thing. Those who do not honor God, who don't respect God, who don't hold God in high esteem, it doesn't matter. You may have been Christian for 35 years. You will not enjoy your Christian life. You will not benefit from your Christian life. You will not see the miracles, the power that comes. Watch it. Most people, they want the blessings from the Bible, but they do not want to do what will make God happy.
Hey.
What will show respect to God. What will bring... Obedience is nothing to them. Most Christians don't obey God. Most Christians do not read their Bible to even know what is obedience. Most Christians do not want to do things that the Lord says. They want to do things that they feel. Bible says in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Yeah. That's the truth. Let's look in the Bible just a little bit and you'll see what I'm talking about. They esteem other things above God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, Bible says of Eli, a great priest, but he esteemed his children above God. And verse 30 says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel also said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. But they who despise me, I will lightly esteem. And if you read, like last week we said, you read a few verses earlier, it's because Eli respected his children more than God, and they were misbehaving. He was so respectful to them that he did not even rebuke them the way he ought to. Ladies and gentlemen, if you respect your children above God, respect your relationship above God, if you are in a relationship, you should never, never put that relationship above God. Yeah, if you have to serve God, you have to become a pastor, you have to go to church, you have to pray, and your wife says, no way, you're not going there, you're not fasting, you're not praying, and you're so intimidated, it's like, oh, well, if I go to this church, if I go to this prayer, my relationship will drop. You are in for trouble. That is what happened to Adam and Eve. They respected the words of Satan, the words of the serpent, more than the words of God. They were kicked out. They were not honored. They lost the benefit they would have gotten from God. Many Christians, instead of walking in obedience, which brings honor to God, they do something else, and therefore they do not get the benefits from the Lord. Yeah. For example, Psalm 37, verse 37, Bible says, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. What does it mean? The man who is up and right with God, who wants to honor the Lord at all times. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. Many people seek their own things first. They sort of despise. God says, anybody who honors me, who puts me first, who esteems me highly, I will also esteem him highly. I will also honor him highly. But those who despise or disregard or disrespect me and therefore my commandments, I will also despise. Listen, ever since I decided to serve God properly, in secret and in the open, life has been a blissful life, a blessing. Because God will always honor those who honor him. Respect. Yeah. Saul used to respect God until one day he saw some Babylonian garments and things. He rather hid them instead of burning them. And God says, you disrespected me. Look at what is happening. Now you are removed from being king. I will no longer honor you. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. If God was telling the people, if I am a father, where is my honor? If God is your father, where is, in what are you honoring him? Some of us don't even pay our tithes. If I be your master, where is my fear or reverence? Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that if God is your father, there should be some respect, some regard, some honor that shows. I mean, it should be obvious to people that you regard God, you respect God. It should be obvious to people that, yeah, it's Sunday, but I'm not working. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm praying by the grace of God. Oh, no, you can't pull me to walk in adultery, in fornication. You can't pull me into pornography because it is evil. You can't cause me to lie. I will tell the truth just so that it will honor God rather than honor myself. You may have come out of the trouble because you lied your way through, but you've disregarded, dishonored God. Try honoring God. God says, if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am your master, where is my fear? Oh, priest, that despised my name. And you say, how have we despised your name? Verse 7 says, if you bring, verse 7, please. Okay. Verse 7 says that you offer polluted bread on my altar, and you say, how have we polluted you? But if you say the table of the Lord is contemptible, verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer now to your governor, will he be pleased with you or accept your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9. And now I pray you, I beseech God that he will be gracious to us. This had been by your means. We will regard your, will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts. Anyway, but what he's saying is that, you know, many of the things that we offer to the Lord, it is the polluted things. It's the sick goat. I mean, if you have a nice thing, and then you would take the nice thing and then put the evil one on the table of the Lord. For example, if the Lord says, like, you know, these people, these twins or these brothers, Cain and Abel, Abel selected the best of things for the Lord because he respected and honored God. God was so happy. But Cain just threw some few plants and brought it. God was not happy with him. He was so envious that he killed his brother. You know, a lot of envy is because of what we have not done for the Lord. Just serve the Lord. He will take care of you. Just honor the Lord. Just obey the Lord. In your marriage, when God says, love your wives, love them. When God says, submit to your husband, just flow with it. When God says, give 10% of his income is his, just honor him with this. Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. That's one way we honor God. You want to honor God? Honor with your substance. Honor with your respect. Honor with your secret behavior. God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Number two, another relationship that you should use to honor God is the relationship, honor Jesus, and it will give life to your relationship with Jesus. One would ask, how do we honor Jesus? Where is Jesus? He's dead and he's gone. Well, he's alive in many ways, as the Bible would put it. Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, he that receives you, Jesus was speaking about the disciples. He says, he that receives you, you disciples that I've sent, actually receives me, Jesus Christ. And he that receives me, Jesus Christ, receives the God that sent me. You know, so honoring Jesus is important for what he did on the cross for us. Let me tell you that Jesus Christ comes in very cryptic ways. He hides. Bible says he's the God who hides himself. Christ hides in what he represents here on this earth. Number one is the Holy Spirit. Number two is the church. Number three, his pastors. Number four, the brethren. All these things in the Bible are stated as Jesus. If you want to honor Jesus, honor these entities. The first one is that if you honor a man of God who is sent to you, you are honoring Jesus. And I just read that to you in Matthew 10, 40. Luke 10, 16 also says, he that hears you, oh preacher, the preacher, also hears me. He that despises you, despises me. Jesus was telling the disciples who were going out to preach. You know, many times when I have listened to my pastor preach, the thing that has kept me in check is the fact that he's not just a human being. He's representing a human being. Anybody who is delegated to come and speak to you carries the authority of the person he's representing. For example, if you are, you know, the United States of America has ambassadors to various countries. When you receive the ambassador, you are receiving the president who sent him. Yeah. It's called delegated authority. Therefore, pastors have a delegated authority from Jesus Christ. They represent God. Jesus himself says, if you receive them, you've received me. In fact, he goes on in verse 41 to say that, even if you give them a cup of cold water, all in my name, as a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. You see the point? You'll get a prophet's reward. He says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And then the verse 42 says, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, all in the name of a disciple, verily I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Ladies and gentlemen, I have learned to respect men of God because they represent Jesus, for the Jesus that is speaking through them. How did I get into the kingdom? Jesus didn't speak to me. He spoke his word through men of God who represented him. And I've still held that respect. Many of us, when we go to church, we like the church, but we disregard the pastor. Sometimes the pastor speaks not so good, some English that you don't like. Sometimes speaks with an accent. Sometimes the pastor is younger than you. But ladies and gentlemen, respect the spirit of God on that man of God, and you'll be blessed. Amen. That is why next week, as we do our Honor Your Prophet Sunday, I will expect you to regard, to honor the anointing, the spirit of Christ upon the man of God, our pastor, Bishop Dag. It is his birthday next week. Just like you honor me on my birthday, let's also honor him on his birthday. It's May the 14th, but we're going to have an Honor Your Prophet Sunday next week, God willing. And then this Wednesday, we're going to have a special service there's going to be a worship service on Wednesday evening, you know, around 7 or 8 o'clock, by the grace of God. And a great song minister is going to come. What's his name again? Tommy Walker will be there live. I want you to come around and it will be a blessing. If you want to honor Jesus Christ, honor the man of God. If you want to honor Jesus Christ, honor Christians. Honor Christians. How do I know? The Bible says in Matthew 25, Jesus was speaking. He said, as you have done it for the least of my brethren, you've done it for me. When you do it for the least of the brethren, you've done it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, he was talking about how, you know, he said, I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick, you didn't visit me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no water. And they said, how? How could we? If we see Jesus, how would we not give him water? He says, as much as you did it for the least of the brethren, you did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, there are many Christians who have no regard for their brethren in the church.
Wow.
No, selfish. I, myself, and I. Some of you have your wardrobe fully loaded with things. Something you have not worn for even 3 years. How will you say you won't wear it again? You say when you lose weight, then you wear it. You have not lost weight first year, second year, third year. Give it away. Maybe that will actually bring you the miracle of weight loss. And God will
Bless you to buy more. Mercy.
In Jesus' name. Give it out to somebody who is that right size, right age. Shoes you've not worn for a long time.
Hey.
Amen.
You have it on your wedding day. You've had 3 children. It's still your favorite. Come on now.
Hey.
Come on now. All your prayers are just around you. Pray for others as well. Regard the people that Jesus Christ, through his blood, precious blood, has paid for. Regard. So when you do anything for the little ones, you've done it for the Lord. Okay?
Amen.
The other entity that represents Christ is the church. The church. Bible calls the church in Ephesians chapter 5, it's called the body of Christ. Christ is the head and the church is the body. Christ is the head of the church, and the church of God is the body of Christ. You know, whatever you do for the church, you're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for Jesus Christ. I've learned to reverence the church. I've learned to keep the church in high esteem. When I enter the church, I'm seeing an entity that Jesus himself built. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The way you respect the White House, because it's the president who occupies it, who's supposed to be the owner of it. Respect the church as such also. The church is both an entity of human beings and a body. And of course, it's the people, as we've said, the brethren, but also the church. What are you doing for the church? Have you prayed for the church in this corona season as the church is suffering? Has it occurred to you to pray that the members will not be disintegrated? Has it occurred to you that how are the church, how are the people being paid, the pastors being paid?
Wow.
I'm not a full-time, so you may not realize that. But there are many, many pastors who, because the churches are not getting together, they're even losing their homes because they've lost their livelihood. Pray for the church. Respect the church. Honor the church. When the church is requiring service, serve. Join the choir. Do something to build up the church. When the church is requiring for church growth, they're going for outreaches. Do it as unto the Lord and not as unto man. And you will be doing it for Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because while, you know, Paul was persecuting the church when he was called Saul, he kept killing people in the church. He kept imprisoning them. He kept blaspheming, injurious to the church. And one day on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9 from verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard to kick against the pricks. So Paul was persecuting the church. He thought it was just an entity that is just, oh, you know, just human entity. But Jesus Christ said that as you kick the church, you are kicking me. Some of us, the way we speak about the church of God, as if we are not Christians.
Oh, yes.
A church in its worst state is still better for what it does, saving people from hell. A church, many pastors are trying. Many churches are trying. By all means, there will be issues. Some of you, we talk about the Catholic Church. We talk about the charismatic churches. We talk about, we even give names, derogatory names, like mushroom churches. Evil things we say about the entity called the church. You are blaspheming against Jesus Christ himself. Begin to have some respect. Begin to have some honor. Begin to see the church as a high thing. Without whom, without the church, there will be so much evil. Even with the churches, look at the evil.
That's true.
Even with the preaching, look at the evil.
That's
even
right.
Look at yourself. How it's not easy. Having gone to church for 35 years, your husband is still trying to keep you married.
Yes, oh, yes. Oh.
Mother is still trying to keep you sane.
Hey.
The church is doing a lot, and it's because Jesus is the one who is the church. Let's respect the church, and it will be a blessing. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, I want us to recognize, you know, it's similar to what I said, but honor, one of the entities you need to honor is honor the anointed man or the prophet of God. Let's put it this way. Honor the Holy Spirit. Honor the Holy Spirit, and that will give life to your relationship with him. Now, let me just let you know that without the Holy Spirit, your Christianity is nothing. It's the Holy Spirit that causes us to be born again. It's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Anointing. He's the one that makes the church a supernatural entity. He's the one who makes pastors speak wisdom and speak in entity in ways that is supernatural. He's the one that can cause somebody who is such an evil person like Paul, like who was Saul, killing people, to become a preacher. He's the Holy Spirit. He's called the Helper. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Standby for Christians. He's the one that Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 1, told the disciples, don't move away from Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit is come, because you can't live your Christian life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is what makes somebody, a true Christian, that changes the person from the evil-natured person that Adam left us with when Adam sold out to the serpent. It was the Holy Spirit was with him when God breathed in him. But once Satan corrupted the nature of the inner man, it was over. Now, when we get born again, it's the Holy Spirit that makes us born again. Now, you have to have regard for the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, your Christianity will not become Christianity. Mm. Otherwise, your life will not become supernatural. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. So, how do we know? Well, let's look at somebody that God called a man after God's own heart. David by name. You know, David by name. Maybe we should go to the New Testament first. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, there was a pastor called Peter. And there were some church members called a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody was selling houses and things so that they would help the church. Ananias and Sapphira sold their house and they brought the proceeds to Pastor Peter. When they brought the proceeds to Pastor Peter, they said, oh, this is the amount that we got. Just like some of us do. When we are paid $1,000, we bring, and the tithe is $100. We bring $10 and we say, oh, that's our tithe. Just as if you are lying to somebody. Well, when they brought the money, the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter. Peter asked, is it all the money you got from what you sold? They said, oh, yeah. They had hidden some. Then Peter told them, look at what you've done. Why is it that Satan has filled your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? A lie against the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, they were speaking to Peter, Pastor Peter. What does that mean? That means that when you are lying to a pastor, you are lying to the Spirit of God upon that pastor, the anointing upon that pastor, the grace upon that pastor, and God does not take lightly to it, and they were struck dead. Thank God that that thing doesn't happen again, because many of us have lied to our pastor. They ask you, oh, this and that, oh, you know, have your way. But those days, it was a problem. David understood that thing so much. He said in Psalm 105, verse 15, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. The Spirit of God is the entity that comes upon men of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, he said, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing and to my master Saul, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing his anointed of the Lord. David was afraid. No wonder God calls him a man after God's heart. No wonder God forgave him, even though he went to commit adultery. Many of us disregard the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the men of God. Amen. Upon what they are doing. People are preaching and we speak so many funny things, comments, blasphemous comments. When the man of God is trying hard, he may not know how to preach, but why don't you who know how to preach come and preach? But he's trying and we say, look, look, look at the grammar. Look at the way he's standing. Look at the example he's giving. Ladies and gentlemen, when you speak that way, you are speaking against the anointing upon the man of God. Amen.
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 And therefore, we need to learn how to. You see, that's what I have learned. When I go to my pastor and he's laying hands on me, I see beyond the human hand. I see the Spirit, the Holy Spirit power in the man of God as he's laying hands. Therefore, I draw power from that. And through that, I've realized that that honor brings the blessing from the man of God. May you respond to the Holy Spirit upon the man of God. May you respond to the Holy Spirit in the church. When you are praying, may you call upon the Holy Spirit to help you. May God help us not to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And finally, honor your prophet. A prophet is anybody that God sends in your life who tells you, thus saith the Lord. You know, there are not many, but when God sends you one, respect it. How? Because many times, you know, especially in Lighthouse or UD, we speak in simple terms, you know, and therefore you don't think that maybe there's any pastor in us, there's any prophetic thing. That many things I've said that have come to pass. Recently, my wife told me that even my jokes, I should not say them because they come to pass. You know, that casual prophecy that we hear from Bishop during the flow meetings, during the prayer when we are taking our communion, all these are prophetic pronouncements. They are said in the form of a prayer, in a simple way, but we don't regard it, esteem it highly. Therefore, it doesn't affect our lives. Let me give you an example that will make you change. In the case of Naaman, the Syrian. Have you heard about Naaman? 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 9. Naaman was a Syrian, was a centurion, a great man, but he was a leper. He had a lot of servants. He wrote to the king that, hey, I need somebody to heal me. The king wrote a letter to Elisha the prophet. Elisha was a very casual prophet. He was not very dramatic. Sort of like our bishop. He's always very casual. He says things like that and it comes to pass. Says things in the form of a prayer. Some people want to do some wild things. Now, in the case of Naaman the Syrian, Bible says in 1 Kings or 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 9, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now, verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Listen, I've gone to the Jordan. It's not a nice, it's not a pretty river. It's actually not a river. It's a brook. You know, it's a little brook. But I've been there. I've been there twice. I've actually been baptized in there, you know. So I can understand. Naaman said, that Elisha said, go and wash 7 times in Jordan and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Then verse 11, but Naaman became furious and went away saying, indeed, I said to myself, I thought he would have come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the whole place and heal my leprosy. People like dramatic things. People like show. When I went, he gave me some seawater mixed with a lizard urine. And that's how my COVID went away. Look at what you want to be told, bring the tooth of a lizard before you believe the prophet.
That's
many people. You know, let me go and give you a shower by the seaside at midnight. How? Meanwhile, you're married. You want dramatic things, but look at this man. Simply said, he didn't even come. He just spoke from afar. He just spoke from the floor prayer service. He spoke from a television screen. And he said, just go and do it. He spoke prophetic words.
Yes.
But this guy didn't believe it. And he got furious.
Yes.
And then he said that, are there not Avana and Pharpa, better rivers in Damascus, better than the waters of Israel, better than Jordan? Could I not have washed myself in these and been clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Verse 13. And his servants came and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Yeah. How much more when he says, just wash and be clean? How much more? Do you see? Just preaching, just obey. And then verse 14. Bible says, so he went down in humility. Some of you need to change and become like this man from our haughtiness. And dipped 7 times in the Jordan. Unclean, but he dipped. According to the saying of the man of God, the prophet Elisha. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Verse 14, look at the response. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this man of God could be you. This Naaman could be you. Many of us, we want dramatism. The little things that prophetically are spoken through the preaching, at the flow prayer meeting, at the flow encounter service by our prophet, you may not have obeyed it. You thought it would have come and done some gymnastics and acrobatics. That will show that the power of God is manifesting. People don't like simple things. Sometimes we are deceived by the simplicity of the gospel, simplicity of the counsel, the instruction. It comes so softly, so gently, just like prophet Elisha. That's the kind of prophet that we have in the house. We're called the casual prophets, but the words come to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, I will entreat you that whenever you go and then prayers are being made at the flow prayer services or at the communion, see them as prophetic words. They may be coming without drama, but that is your deliverance right there.
Yes.
That's your deliverance. Our sister Mimi, I remember, said that as he was at the prayer service, he took the words, he slept with them, went on, and then suddenly supernaturally, she started speaking in tongues. His dreams, scriptures were being released to her. Wow. That brought deliverance. He wanted to even go back and she wanted to smoke. The Holy Spirit helped. Said, no, not anymore. The power of God is upon you. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what I want to tell you today. Don't wait to dramatic things. And now you recognize the man of God. Look at Naaman. He brought a gift. He brought a gift to the man of God, to the prophet Elisha. Well, I would say that do that in faith. Believe in the little things that I told you, the casual things that you have obeyed that have come to pass. Next week also, as we celebrate our prophet's birthday, also take a gift. Take a gift. I'm sure as part of the text to give, there will be a place for honor your prophet. A little gift that you can bring to say thank you next week. You do the same for the many things that without drama have taken place in your life. Look at my life, how it used to be and how it is nice. Now, all these things. May the Lord cause you to have honor.
Amen.
May wives honor their husbands.
Amen.
May employees honor their bosses. May children honor their parents. May Christians honor the Holy Spirit. Amen. Honor the anointing upon their prophets and pastors. Amen. May Christians Amen. Honor God with their Amen. Substance. And may Amen. The Lord bless you Amen. As you honor the higher one. In Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Put your hands together and rise to your feet and let's pray. Rise to your feet and let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. As we come to the end of this service, let's pray. Let's pray. Put your hand on your heart, please. If this is the first time you came, or it's not your first time, but somebody invited you, but you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to do so. God wants to bless you. God wants to honor you. God wants to you to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's a Amen. Blessing. Lift up your hand and repeat. If you want to give your life to Jesus on this Mother's Day, on this day when you heard about honor, you want to honor the Lord by surrendering your whole life to Him. What is better to honor the Lord than to give your life to Him? If you want to give your life to Jesus, say this prayer after me. And please, all the congregation, join me. Say, Almighty Father,
Almighty Father,
I come to you.
I come to you.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
I know I'm a sinner. I have not honored you the way I ought to. Please forgive me.
Please forgive
and
me.
Wash me.
And wash
me. The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
I believe. Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Let His blood on the cross.
The blood on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
He died for me.
To die for me.
And raise Him from the dead.
Then raise Him from the dead.
Believe this strongly. And by this faith.
And by this faith,
Lord. Now born again,
now born again,
child of God,
child of God.
Please fill me,
with the Holy Spirit.
Write my name in the book of life.
In the book of life.
I wish to serve you from today.
I wish to serve you from today.
I will no longer serve Satan.
I will no longer serve Satan.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Help me, God.
Help me.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.